Amen. As I said already, today is the day of Pentecost, and it is one of the most important Sundays in the church year. In fact, you might even say that it's right up there with Christmas and Easter, though it doesn't get the same recognition or play. Sometimes we call it the birthday of the Christian church, though I prefer to think of the birthday of the Christian church as having started in the Garden of Eden, as our Lord walked and talked with Adam and Eve. But sometimes it's called the birthday of the Christian church, as it went from this small group of 120 that were in one accord, like we heard last week, to now over 3,000 believers after this Pentecost preaching that takes place and the work of the Holy Spirit. So from 120 to now 3,000 believers. And how does this happen? How does such a miraculous day occur? Well, it's all about the work of the Holy Spirit. It's all about what the Holy Spirit is doing. In our gospel reading today from John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples on that night in which he was betrayed, still that upper room discourse, Jesus says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Pentecost marks the giving of the Holy Spirit. As we see the Holy Spirit filling the disciples and all believers, empowering them. And without the work of the Holy Spirit, there would be no Christianity. There would be no church. There would be no faith. For faith is a gift from God worked in us through the Holy Spirit. When we confess the Nicene Creed here, what is it that we confess about the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing that we confess about the Holy Spirit in the Nicene Creed is that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He is the giver of life. And why do we confess the Holy Spirit to be the giver of life? After all, isn't Jesus the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life? If Jesus is life, why do we confess the Holy Spirit to be the giver of life? Well, I think to answer that a little bit more, we need to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, who he is, and what he does. Let me begin by talking briefly about what the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is not the Force. This isn't Star Wars. The Holy Spirit is not some mystical energy that if you can tap into it, you'll be able to do miraculous things. That's not what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. And to go along with that, the Holy Spirit is not an it. Sometimes we talk that way. I know, I'm not entirely sure why we do this, but I hear it around here, and I may even let it slip out now and then as well, as we refer to the Holy Spirit as it. It leads us to this idea that the Spirit is just some energy that God gives and not God himself. But when we confess to believe in the Holy Spirit, we confess to believe that the Holy Spirit is indeed God himself. When Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in John 14 today, he doesn't say, "It will teach you all things," but he says, "He will teach you all things." The Holy Spirit is God, a member of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and worthy of all honor and glory and praise. This is why we confess to believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and Son is worshipped and glorified. We don't worship an it. We don't worship some force out there. We worship God. And that's exactly why we worship the Holy Spirit. So it's important that we remember that the Holy Spirit is God. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this triune God that we have, they're all part of our creation, redemption, and the continuous life as Christians, sanctification. They are always in one accord and working in concert. They are one. But we often differentiate the persons of the Trinity as the Father who created us, the Son who redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us. That means that it is the Holy Spirit who brings us into the Christian life and continues to work in our lives to make us holy, to make us Christ-like. It is the Holy Spirit who makes us Christians. The Christian faith, of course, is faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, a worship of the triune God. To be a Christian is to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. But that only happens by the work of the Holy Spirit. In our gospel reading today, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Paracletos, or as some English translations have it, the Paraclete. In our English Standard Version that we read this morning, it says the Helper. Other translations render the word as advocate or comforter. It literally means one called to our side. One who is called to our side. So you can see how all those words might be used to fit that as a helper, an advocate, or a comforter, as someone who comes alongside you and strengthens you, enables you, intercedes for you. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for you, for us. This Holy Spirit is the one who converts us, the one who makes us Christians, granting faith to us, the one who aids us in our daily walk as Christians, convicting us of sin, as we hear in John chapter 16, and pointing us to the forgiveness of sins, pointing us always to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. Every time the gospel is proclaimed, that is the good news that Jesus has died for your sins, so that you might have forgiveness, life, and salvation. Every time the gospel is proclaimed, as the word goes out from the mouth of a pastor or a missionary or a child of God witnessing in their home or to their coworker or to their neighbors, it is the work of the Holy Spirit as he works through the word of God to bring people to faith. Without the Holy Spirit, no one in this building would believe. None of us would be Christians. For no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Only the work of the Holy Spirit, only through the work of the Holy Spirit are we made aware of the saving power of Christ through the gospel and drawn to faith. We don't muster that up on our own. In fact, quite the contrary. On our own, we are dead in our trespasses and in our sins. On our own, we're hostile toward God and cannot do the things of God, cannot do the things of the Spirit, according to Romans 8. But instead, we've been made alive by the Spirit. He has called us. He has called us by the gospel. There are wonderful words in the small catechism that I hope many of you will consider memorizing in the same way that you've memorized the explanation to the second article of the Creed and the Catechism. I can consider memorizing the explanations to the third article of the Creed as well. In fact, I'm even going to challenge you on that. I have nothing to give to you if you do it, but I promise it'll benefit you. But the explanation of the third article says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And in this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. Hopefully you know what that last line is. What do you think it might be? I heard it over here. This is most certainly true. Yeah, this is most certainly true. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps us in the faith. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no Christianity. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot have faith. It's the Holy Spirit who calls us to faith. It's the Holy Spirit who converts us, who pours out the good news of the gospel upon us, and who allows us to believe in Christ and trust in him for our salvation, for no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. John Stott once wrote, "There can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the Spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, no Christ-likeness of character apart from the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and no effective witness without his power." It is the power and work of God, the Holy Spirit, that creates the church. And so you could say, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that Pentecost Sunday, that the Lord gave birth to the New Testament church. It is the power and work of God, the Holy Spirit, that turns dead sinners into Christians as the gospel is preached and heard, and he, working through that gospel, makes alive and saves. It is the power and the work of God, the Holy Spirit, to grow us as Christians as we are strengthened through the means of grace, the word and the sacrament. We seek to live out then our lives as Christ followers, doing the will of the Lord in our lives. And many will ask, if the Holy Spirit is so important, why do we not glorify his name more often? Why do we wait for Pentecost to celebrate his name? And there's a couple of things I think we need to keep in mind with that. First of all, we should always glorify the name of God, the Holy Spirit. We should always worship and praise the Holy Spirit. And you can call upon the Holy Spirit in the same way that you call upon your Father in heaven and Jesus Christ. You can lift up your prayers to the Holy Spirit. And that's more than appropriate, for he is God and worthy of all worship, honor, and praise. Co-eternal, co-majestic with the Father. And so you can worship God the Holy Spirit, and we should remember God the Holy Spirit always in our praise and worship. But the other thing that I want us to remember is this. While we worship and glorify God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit has something else in mind. God the Holy Spirit glorifies the name of Jesus. God the Holy Spirit's role is to glorify Christ. John 16 verse 14 says, Jesus says, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So every week here, as we preach God's word, as we praise his name, as we hear the gospel preached, as lives are touched by the forgiveness of sins, as we see babies or adults baptized into the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and their sins forgiven and their lives made new, we are glorifying God the Holy Spirit. For God the Holy Spirit is the one who is at work, turning hearts to Jesus. God the Holy Spirit is the one at work, strengthening our faith. Where Christ is preached, God the Holy Spirit is glorified. Where the cross is central, God the Holy Spirit is at work. And that's exactly what took place on Pentecost. Part of that reading we'll see next week as we finish that Pentecost message of St. Peter in Acts chapter 2. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon these disciples at Pentecost, and you know, tongues of fire rest on them, we have this loud noise, and we hear the people all hear them talking in their own language, and they're drawn together, and they are gathered to hear this message, and we get this message from the book of Joel. But then Peter goes on and he preaches clearly Jesus Christ and him crucified. For it is through this message of the cross that the Holy Spirit works faith and life into the hearts of those who were once dead and makes them alive in Jesus' name. Christ is preached. That's the message of the Holy Spirit. Our last verse in our text today from Acts 2, verse 21. Peter said, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. And remember, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is at work. As that word is preached on Pentecost, 3,000 come to faith, not by their own reason or strength, but by the work of the Holy Spirit, taking hold of them, converting their hearts, giving them trust in this message of the gospel, trust in their Savior, Jesus Christ. And they're baptized. They're baptized on that Pentecost day. They say, what should we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what we saw a little bit ago, as Ella received the gift of the Holy Spirit through holy baptism. The Holy Spirit at work in her life, making her a child of God, washing her clean of sin, uniting her with Christ, and bringing her in to the body of Christ. There was a mini Pentecost right here just a few moments ago. And really a mini Pentecost every Sunday, if you will, as the word is preached and the Holy Spirit's at work. The Holy Spirit has called us all by the gospel, strengthens us, keeps us, and is by our side, our helper, our comforter, our advocate, our God. Amen.